Blog Talk Radio.
Whoa, that's loud. Good evening, everyone. We're going to start with a little Pharrell Williams, a little minute of happy. Welcome to Spirit Therapy. And let's be happy for a moment. All right. So, good evening, everyone. And my name is Nicole Tomasini, calling in from the very white, very snowy, Hollywood snowy, downtown Manhattan. And I am joined by my very good friend and fellow spirit traveler, Lionel, who's calling in from Brooklyn. How you doing over there? Pretty snowy, huh?
Doing well. Hello, world. Hello, Nicole. It's good to hear your voice again. And I'm happy to be on your show for the first time, like, ever.
Nice. Yeah. And really
in terms of how it's going down on the Brooklyn side of things, you know, pretty snowy, like everywhere else, you know, and the metropolitan area. Everything is good. Everything is cool runnings. Yeah.
Awesome. Nice. Well, I'm looking forward to getting into one for the men here. It's really been interesting thinking about it myself, being a woman, but, you know, I've done a lot of work getting in touch with my male side, and I know you've worked on yourself as well as with those around you. You have your spirit brothers, your powwows.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
So, and it's an interesting topic to be talking about today, coming that we're in the middle of we just came out of the Super Bowl yesterday, and then we're coming into Valentine's Day in a couple weeks. So it already has the setup of the dichotomy of, you know, male, tribal,
and
yeah, and right, and female. But next
That's
week, I really want, isn't it?
Yeah, very interesting. I really didn't put those two together, but, you know, it's pretty clever because they've pretty much been keeping the same schedule in terms of the Super Bowl for decades. And, you know, pretty much what tailgates after that is Valentine's Day. Mm-hmm. So it's like an extreme, like I've never really put those two extremities together. It's like this rah, 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 then, you know, tone it
and
down.
And love, love, love.
Yeah, and love, love. Exactly. Wow, I've never put those two together, but, you know, that's cool. Right on. This is
yeah,
an incredible dynamic.
I never noticed it either. And so, yeah, we're right on time here. And I definitely want to talk
mm-hmm.
about the sports and the sex and the alone or divorced or with someone and the male conditions and, you know, expectations. But before we get into that, mm-hmm. I've started usually talking about the astrology and where we're at with the cosmos just for a few minutes so that our listeners
right.
can have that side. So, and I get my information from the really great Tom Lesher. He does what's called the Pele Report. You can find it on YouTube. And so this
okay.
week, yeah, he puts it out every Tuesday or Wednesday. So this is, you know, starting from Wednesday on. But we're coming out of
right.
aspects of tension and pressure. And he put it that we're going through the gauntlet, like the meat grinder. So we're still meeting ourselves. We're still, you know, fighting our battles and figuring out what we want to do, where we want to go. And there's this Mars in Libra that has gone from in and out from January until June. And that's very much about communication, taking action. And then we have this Uranus squared Pluto, which was very interesting. It started in the summer of 2002. It's going to end in March in 2015. So it's a 2.5-year aspect. And the last time this aspect was happening like this was in 1964, 65, 66. And those were obviously years of major change, government, social, cultural, economic. So we can understand that the revolution is happening. And I saw a post on Facebook the other day that said, wouldn't it be funny if one day we all woke up and realized the hippies were right? I thought that was funny because I kind of believe that, you know, somebody had to start it and they started off like they did, you know, we can continue. So we're in this deep collective unconscious transformation. So he put it to like being in a sailboat bobbing around on a turbulent ocean. So we're all little sailboats out there. You know, I'm thinking of like the kids' boats. We're all on the, you know, our higher self is on the shore trying to direct us and we're bumping into each other. And that was the other part of the aspect was the whole focus is working our stuff out with other people. Relationships with whoever, your mother, father, brother, self, lover, dead, alive, everything. So, and then the last part is the Mars is bringing out the sword. We're cutting off old patterns and, you know, Mars being the god of war wants everything to be for a purpose, everything in strength. So, you know, we're really coming face to face with any kind of weakness or any kind of loose string that's kind of flapping around back there and making a lot of noise and ruckus. We kind of can't, leave it alone. So, and it's a time for lightening up, relaxing, flowing, letting it go and relaxing into the revolution because we're all feeling ready for change. Would you agree with that, Lionel?
I mean, I hear this a lot because I work with, I work with quite a few people and both, all different sorts of background, male and female. And I often hear, particularly with the women, you know, oh, I just want to be happy. You know what I'm saying? So I'm piggybacking off the last statement you just said, that, you know, we're all looking for change. I say to myself, I'm like, okay, it's a wonderful romantical statement. You know, I want to be happy. Yeah, I need change in my life. But the bottom line for me is like, it's going to ask us to make changes if you want change. Change is going to ask of us to change, you know. A lot of people, right, and people want all these things. They want all this stuff. They want all these great results. But without the process, you know, they're not willing to really invest in their own happiness or joy or whatever it is that, you know, that an individual may want, may seek, you know?
Yeah, I mean...
So I agree with you, but from my experience, a lot of the people that, you know, from my personal experience, in particularly of recent, you know, they want all these changes, but they're not willing to make the adjustments, you know, so they can experience, so they could be living these changes.
Sure.
You know, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And that's what these aspects are all about, because you know what?
Right.
I mean, I believe that everybody's looking for happiness, whether they say it or not. Everyone's looking for love and everybody's looking for happiness because that's where we feel most aligned with our true nature, our true self of well-being. But in these turbulent star times and in turbulent life earth times, we have to go through it. And if we don't make these changes and we don't confront ourselves and really let some things go, you know, we're going to be the bag lady or man walking around with like 9 carts full of trash that, you know, I mean,
that's a beautiful statement. And it's so, so, so true. That, you know, like, and it pretty much adds on to, you know, what my previous statement is that one of the things with myself that I realized about change that is that the more you let go, the more you really receive.
Sure.
You know, and it's the whole idea of, you know, because, you know, we're spiritual beings. living in this like flesh. You know, we have a very all these different types of experiences. You know, we're spirit bodies, we're physical bodies. You know, we're soulful bodies, and the flesh is constantly, you know, asking and wanting things. You know, and for me, the spirit is the traffic. It's like the traffic cop. it's the higher voice of discernment. It's the higher voice of benefit. And I often think about, like, you know, I usually get this picture in my head, like, you know, when the actual mother bird comes back to the nest, and then you have like all these chicks with their mouth literally so wide open, you know, and I usually, that picture comes to me when it comes to the flesh, you know, like, even myself, sometimes I get caught up with it where it's like, well, I wanted it this way, and I want that, and it's not really what I want. It's like, I want.
Mm-hmm.
And the point where it's just like, I get so sick of that voice, where it's just like, Lionel, hold on. All right, why don't you just relax? And fast-forwarding, I found out that later on, the stuff that I wanted isn't really the things that I really need.
That's very interesting. That's an awesome topic to bring up. I just want to acknowledge California Living in the chat room. Thank you for listening in and our other guests. But they're typing in, is happiness a static position in life? You know, obviously not. Happiness is just like the boat, or he put also the rubber ducky floating through the in the bathwater, you know, back and forth. I mean, I think it's all
about
these adjustments. And also the I want and the desires, and why do I want this? Is it really what I want? Who's asking for it? Is it my ego?
Right.
Is it my body?
Absolutely.
Is it my true self?
Absolutely.
So,
right.
So yeah, that's a really, really great point. And I think that's what this time's all about, is learning how to man your sails, how to direct your sailboat in the most pleasing manner. And then they said the bag lady versus many relationships in your life with many volatile emotions to deal with, how to choose. I mean, sure, I think
that's a beautiful, you're reading all this, what this is all coming in right now?
From California Living, they're typing in the chat room.
Wow, that's awesome. I mean, these are very precisely accurate statements and conditions and experiences as, you know, humans, you know. Many times I could swear by something, and when I actually do get it, it's not really like I thought it would be.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just like, how did I? All right.
Yeah, that's yeah, go ahead. You go.
Right. So, you know, when I would kind of do my own self-inventory, I'm like, well, Lionel, what was it about this incredible anxiety or this urge of having, by all means and any means necessary, to have whatever it happened to be? Where did it stem from? How did this, like, momentum get so strong? And when I did actually achieve it, it became accessible to me. It totally flatlined, you know. It wasn't really nowhere remotely close to what I thought that I would be experiencing, you know.
So do you think that went down like that? What was the lesson?
That's a beautiful question, and it's a question that I often ponder, and it's a question that I've actually also delved into myself. And a lot of times I like to think, or from my own, you know, experience, you know, we have so many different layers in terms of conditioning. You know, there's a lot of things that we're actually taught to want. You know, well, when I'm finished college, I'm supposed to have this job, or when I get married, or all these kind of preconditions, either ideology or behavior, these patterns that's literally being like a relay race. You know, we have the generation prior to us, our parents. They run the same race that we're running, and they pass on the baton, you know. But with this baton comes, there's a lot of ills that's along with that has to be, you know, corrupted, I feel.
Yeah.
You know? And, you know, I come from a background where, you know, it's pretty conservative, you know, and we, it kind of, our decisions is predicated based on tradition and what's been passed on, you know what I'm saying? So a lot of the things that I would go literally set myself out for, you know, really wouldn't be based on truly what I really want. It's just based on I would say, you know, what we're taught.
Yeah, what you thought and somebody told you you should do.
Right, exactly mm-hmm. my point. You know, I'm not saying that's like the magic pill to it all, but it's definitely an interesting component in this multi-layer, you know, thing that we're talking about here, you know?
Yeah, California Living says sometimes one needs to drop the family baton and pick up a new baton and start a race with a new team. Absolutely.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I was just talking
California
to another...
love, man. That's what's up.
Yeah, for real.
Is this he or she?
I don't know. Are you a he or a she,
oh,
California
doesn't know?
Living?
Okay,
I don't
well,
know.
You know, you got it going on, California
yeah.
love. That is right on
yeah,
the button.
Whatever you are. Yeah, because I was just talking to a friend today about the male ego, about he was like, I'm really having to get past my male ego. He was in a job before that he created, and he created a whole storm of you know, prosperity, but also of a lot of work, and he decided it wasn't making him happy, and he got out. And now, you know, he's looking to how to get back into the workforce, and another friend of his chimed in and said, you know, you got to look at it as a new beginning and starting afresh. Like, don't think that you're going to stir up the storm that like you did before, because that storm is over. That's not now. And so to let the ego, the male ego, just chill out for a second, because, you know, we think about the male ego, it's about action. I mean, like you said, it's from our parents and it's many generations. And also it's the vibration of I get things done. I am an action leader. As well as society telling you that you always need to bring home the bacon, that nobody else can carry
right.
bacon, it's only you, you know, and
right.
you're supposed to go and kill the elk and bring it back for your family, otherwise you're worthless, you know. And then
right.
it, and then the male ego gets all attached into the I'm not a man without money, and I need to have a woman, and I need to have maybe more than one woman to feel like a man, all these
right.
things,
right.
you know, which are understandable. I mean, there's no judgment here, for sure. Like, I get it. I get it as much as I guess a female can, but I understand, you know, it's we're all running into our egos. It's just specifically we're talking about male ego today, you know.
You know one thing?
Yeah.
Nicole, I want to add on to that because, you know, it seems like now the flow is actually really it's picking up right now. We're about to go into the main vein, you know. A lot of these, either titles that we've inherited or the way we're supposed to behave and all of this stuff, it's already somewhat like before we even get here, it's like our room's already decorated with all these different things, you know. And you know, we pick it on because, you know, that's what we do. You know, when we're growing up and, you know, we're just experiencing the world, the most important people to us or people who we trust are our, you know, our mother, our father, you know, people who are in our inner court. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I find out that a lot of the things, you know, in terms of like what, I'm supposed to be doing as a man really ran out of steam like in my early 20s, so to speak, you know, like they let you down, you know, they don't really fulfill, you know, it doesn't have the capacity level is very little or none.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized that, okay, you know what? I can't have, you know, I have to, getting back to what California Love, his last chat statement, you know, sometimes we have to let go of the family baton and kind of create our own. I'm paraphrasing, but that's essentially what needs to happen. That is truly the rebirth or the born again or, you know, or the new birth or however you want to phrase it. But my point is, and I think this is going to be important for the show, what does it take for one to get to that point?
Yeah,
what does it take for one to really just say with full conviction, okay, you know what, this is the way it's going to happen, or I'm going out here, uncharted territory, you know, foreign territory, and this is going to happen. I'm going to actually, you know, explore and really to see how I feel about things, you know.
Yeah, well, I think it's all about looking at yourself, self-exploration, you know. You have to look at the male ego. Why are you so gung-ho about doing these things? Why do you think that this is the way that it needs to be done or that you need to do it? Do you love it? Do you enjoy it? And some of these questions can be answered in a second, and some take some time. So I think the new way of doing it is understanding what your way is. And how do you define yourself? And how do you let in also that female side, which during this time, it's all about inclusion and the oneness. So everyone on the planet, male or female, gay or straight, is coming into terms and into understanding with their other side. It's just the yin and the yang. You know, we use these words, male, female, for descriptives, but it's the energies that we all have. So for a man to still feel like a man and get in touch with those feelings at the same time. We have a caller, and the last California love we're living, saying the hardest emotion to deal with as a male is knowing when to pass the baton to your male son rather than destroying him. Well, I think that goes along with what I just said about, you know, coming to terms with who you really are in your own love and in alignment with your own spirit.
Absolutely.
And then your son will see that and will understand
right
that for himself.
Right.
Did you want to add to that, Lionel, before we take our caller? Go ahead.
I think that's a wonderful statement, because I think you know, what's imperative is that you have to realize, first of all, you have to be blameless. That's number one.
Yeah.
You know, you have to be able to forgive, which is not easy. But these are things, you know, there's a protocol to, you know, to when you want to reach a level of consciousness and to a level of existing in that consciousness. You know, these are the layers, you know. And I think forgiving, and it's so important.
Yeah.
You know, it really
yourself
enables
and
you
others.
To truly, absolutely. I'm glad that you, you know, you said that. For self, more important than anything.
Right.
You know, because I find it very difficult to actually be a part of any new journey carrying these baggage.
Yeah.
You know.
Right. Absolutely. I think that's probably the place to start, because when you look
absolutely.
At whatever you're carrying around, you see a lot of, you know, why you did, why you didn't, why you chose this,
right.
why you didn't like it at the end of the day. You know, that's a great place to start. You know, anything
absolutely.
That can get you more into the present is a good idea. So let's open up the mic here to 780 area code. You're on the air. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, caller. What's your name?
Yes, it's Jay calling from Canada.
Ah, hi, Jay. How are you?
Wow.
Good. How about yourself?
Very good. What do you have to tell us?
Well, I was just listening to the show, and just interesting you have this show topic, actually, what it's called. one for the men, is usually not very many shows that talk about the men's emotions and spirituality.
Wow,
so,
beautiful. Right. I'm so happy you said that. I'm so happy, man.
That's awesome.
Because Jay's so
yeah.
right. I didn't mean to interrupt you, Jay, but you just had my wheels turning right now. That's exactly the reason why we wanted to do this. But I'm sorry. Go ahead, Jay. I'm Lionel from Brooklyn, by the way.
No problem. Hey, Lionel. Nicole, I think. It's a very interesting topic right now, because I think the guys are defining the roles a little bit more differently, because, you know, we have two people who are actually working in the family now, basically, or providers of income, whether it be a man and a woman. Mm-hmm. And I think those roles are really changing right now in terms of, I know, balance and things like that, and, you know, what is their, I know, soul's mission, you know, at the end of the day, you know, do they think they work, you know, until the retirement and find out, you know, it wasn't what they were supposed to do in this lifetime. So I feel that the wake up is starting this show. It's starting, people are asking questions, but sometimes it's about asking the right questions to move them forward, especially for guys. And I think guys, like, I think we're so, I think society is more geared around women's stuff, I find now, especially in the spiritual stuff, because everywhere I go, there's more women than men. And mm-hmm. and I find that we tend to be, you know, just hang around, or the, you know, around men who are waking up and talk about spiritual stuff. So I just find that that's what I see now. So it's really, really geared towards women. And I think we probably bring the goddess stuff out of the women. And for the guys, what the masculine, what how they did define themselves masculine. And yeah, that's kind of to see how I look at right now. Just
yeah, that is interesting, especially with, you know, the roles of male and female, and also in like you said, households, and also in relationships. You know, like, who's allowed to cry? Who's supposed to get their way? Isn't there a way that we can both have our way? But I think that's where we both, with males and females, both getting in touch with the other side. You know, if we can have some balance. You know, I know that the women are going through a lot of aggression, and you know, I can feel it around them, and they want what they want when they want it, and then males are having more feelings about things. I mean, like, wait a minute, you know, I can't have feelings too? Like, why does it always have to be about your feelings and what you want? So I think this conversation within ourselves and between each other, I think the redefining our roles in not so much, you know, servient and server, and more as partnership and unionship.
Right. I mean, I think Jay tackled, well, made a wonderful statement, and there is, like, this polar shift that's actually happening. Like, I actually know quite a few men that are, like, what we would call Mr. Moms now, you know what mm-hmm. I mean? And it's such unbelievable scene to a degree, because, you know, the woman comes home, and sometimes she even has a suit on, you know? And here you see, like, the husband or the man literally eating his, you know, in this situation that I'm talking about, I'm not mentioning any names, but he has a four-month-year-old, you know, basically a newborn, you know?
Uh-huh. So he's got an apron on and a burp rag. Great.
I wouldn't say an apron, but he's his four-month-year-old baby boy, and I was with him, and I thought it was like, wow, this is really incredible. And then it's the woman that's coming home. Hey, honey, I'm home, you know?
Yeah,
and you know, and it was just it struck me right then and there, like, wow, this is really amazing how the roles are, getting back to Jay's point, how it's really shifted, and the effects, and how we're handling the effects. First of all, can we even ID the situation? You know, identifying the situation is so important, and particularly when you're asking the right questions, like Jay said, and when you want change. Because you have so many people, they fall into the same loops constantly, and they don't have a clue of why certain things keep happening to them, you know? But the shift that's taking place is very, very interesting, and I know a lot of wonderful stories, but more sad stories than wonderful stories.
Mm.
Depending
well,
on, you know.
How have you guys, you know, whoever wants to pick up the baton, so to speak, you know, what have you guys been going through when, are there more emotions that are happening? What's happening with the male side? Is there anger and aggression? Like, how's that balance working out for either of you?
Is Jay still on the line?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm still here.
Silence, I think, means you go first, Lionel.
Okay.
I can go first.
Well, okay.
Well, go ahead. Yeah, because I just spoke. And go ahead, Jay. Brother Jay, go for it.
I find that when I first started my journey about 11 years ago now, I've actually started with meditation. And that really opened up me a lot to the point where I actually forgave my dad face-to-face and did a lot of crying. So I find that meditation has really helped me see who I'm inside. You know, they always say that the answer's all over inside of us. You know, it's about a matter of quieting our thoughts down and feeling who we are. So, and currently I'm actually practicing a meditation where it's more of a feeling meditation. You know, the sights, smell, sound, and taste. Mm-hmm. And I find that actually is really, really interesting for myself. I find that meditation is really important for us guys, because I think we tend to see or perceive the outer experience as that defines ourselves, but it really isn't. Because we're all, how do you say, we're all souls with, you know, a unique identity, if you want to call it that. So, but when we get a group of guys who run a football game and they're all experiencing the masculine of that football game, well, that's just the football game, and that's how you perceive it, your perceptions about it. So, I mean, here's a really good example. If you go to stores like a mall, the mall is basically geared towards what? Women's stuff, right? Shopping stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
And whereas the guy stuff, it's all the, oh, what's the car?
Military gadget, yeah.
Other, yeah, of what? Masculine stuff, right? You know, motorcycles, you know, it's horsepower, if you want to call it that, you know, that, and it's really doesn't define us, actually. It really doesn't define us.
Isn't that interesting?
Neither does a, you know, $200 Prada, you know,
bag, right, exactly.
Prada bag defines the women, right? So I find that for women, it's about the goddess energy, about bringing that out, too. For them. And with that, I think that's pretty actually pivotal in some ways too in relationships, because then it'll spur the other guy or the person, the partner, to be more masculine, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, God and goddesses, you know. It's really, really interesting what I see in that perspective. So,
yeah, it is.
But not part of the, you know, the about the games and all this other stuff. I'm not into that. So I think it's just more going inward for myself.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's realizing
it's also
that the external can't define who you are. The stuff never tells you who you are. And to know that Babylon is just marketing to, you know, the stereotype, so that you can also feel stuck in this stereotype of needing these things to be a man or a woman. Right. You know, it's all part of a bullshit game right there. So
I think Brother Jay hit it right on the spot. Like, you know, we're finding out that men aren't defined by the horsepower in their car, and women aren't defined on, you know, a Prada handbag.
Right.
You know what I mean? What was so interesting, coming home last night, you know, I'd say I was walking home maybe around 8 o'clock. You know, so I left the subway and I'm walking home. And by that time, had already started already. And it was incredible how desolate the streets were. Like, it's almost as if there was no one. I felt like I was the only one, you know, on this planet, so to speak, you know? And then it dawned on me, oh, wow, yeah, the Super Bowl is on.
Wow.
You know? So, and, I mean, even traffic. I mean, you had a few, you know, cab drivers here and there, or a lot of the public vehicles out, you know. But literally, it was just completely just empty, at least, you know, my area, you know. And I'm walking, and I can even hear my own footsteps. And it was amazing to me how powerful these conditions are, you know, how they dictate where we where we're going to be,
right?
How we're
right.
going to behave. I just couldn't believe how it has this hook so deep in us. And I remember feeling this little slight joy that, wow, I'm just so happy that I'm awake, you know, because I was all at one point one of these. And I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with it. Like, oh, you want to, you know, you're a football fan, you want to. I'm just using the Super Bowl as, you know, the precursor, as an example. But it is part of the machine. You know, we're only talking about a multi-billion-dollar industry, you know.
Yeah, and it's a good point there.
Yeah, to be outside of that and to look at it, the feeling is just undeniable. Do you know what I mean?
It furthers this us versus them mentality and tribal
right.
warfare. And, you know, on the flip side, sports is definitely a metaphor for life and good
right.
fun and to really get into a game. It's very entertaining. There's nothing wrong with those things.
Nothing
but, you know,
wrong
you
with
take
it
to a whole nother level, and the world has
right.
to stop because of the Super Bowl, and why? And then the whole ads, you know, you're like, come on, man. Like, it's all just such marketing
it's,
and
right.
taken it to a whole nother level. So you got to check yourself because they're not going to check you for you.
Absolutely. I mean, the Sports Center, like, 24 hours a day, and I remember at one point, I'm 42 years old. I remember at one point, I think we've discussed this in the past, Nikki, that, you know, you got your highlights at Warner Wolf Channel 2 for, like, what, maybe a half hour or whatever, 15 minutes, and you wait for another week to pass on to see another game. Now you have, I mean, literally a barrage. It's 24 hours a day, and it's just repetition is a very powerful tool.
Yeah.
When you just keep driving and driving and driving, you will consume. You will enter. You will intrude someone's consciousness, you know, with this driving force of this repetition, 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 same old stuff, regurgitating over and over and over and over again, 7 days, 8 days a week. That's even for me. And,
brainwashing.
And sports has done, right, sports has done a lot of wonderful things in my life, you know, because I played basketball in junior high school and in high school, football, you know, racquetball or, you know, handball.
Yeah, actually playing them is a whole different ball of wax.
Right, but sports for me when I was growing up, it's totally not what it is right now.
Yeah.
And I think this is undeniable. And this whole external world that is straight up a lie, that, you know, that men have been so, you know, nurtured with, and I'm not saying not all of it, is a lie, but the fact that the things that makes you a man or that makes you worthy, you know, for your own kingdomship is based on this external drive, so to speak,
right.
i.e., you know,
to do with you.
It's
yeah.
all bullshit.
Right. I saw a
it's
post on Facebook, a female friend of mine wrote, "My husband says I'm not allowed to talk to him during the game or during the commercials. Any thoughts?" And I was like, wow, this is an interesting conversation right here because, you know, on one side, I have to say that, you know, when somebody is really into something, you don't bust into somebody watching a play and try to talk to them and text them, you know, so let this person have their time. But also, you know, this idea, it goes back to that same conditioning of, you know, the woman needs to bring snacks and beer, and the men are all rah-rah rallying together, you know. So that was an interesting concept there.
Right. Unbelievable. I just said external drive. It's incredible. Like, in, you know, computer, we have internal drive, external drive. Like, even computers based on male and female components. You know, it's amazing how everything that was surrounded by all of this male and female parts, you know, it's just really amazing. Like, you know, things just start to get downloaded in my spirit, how it's always been all around us. And for me, it's so much that society has changed, that we're actually being awakened.
Right.
And we're
seeing what's been happening for a while. Yeah.
In essence.
Well,
right.
And California yeah. Living said, I think that most men wait until they're sick and tired of being sick and tired of their experiences in life, and then they will change. I think that's with anybody. You know, we don't fix it unless it's broke.
You're right. I agree.
What Lionel was saying regarding the repetition of what's going on with sports, you figure what's going on. Now we just finished the Super Bowl. Now we got the NBA stuff coming up. We got the March Madness coming up. And once that's finished, we got baseball coming up. And then we got, after baseball is finished, we have NBA starting up again. So we have, and hockey and all those good sports. But, we have this thing about, the thing is about the condition that we see on the sports stuff. It's actually about training our mind to be more of, and this is a male pattern too, and female pattern that derives from the sports stuff, is that it's not about the corporation, it's about the competition. Who has the more money than someone else, or who has the more, expensive clothes or whatever that is, like the external stuff. So we have this shifting of condition of competition towards corporation, which is a hard thing to do because, here's your neighbor that, you're going to be, instead of, you're not going to play the game anymore, right? So that neighbor will probably get mad and find another player to play with. So we have this kind of like game going off. And I see sometimes with guys, when it comes to spiritual stuff, it's more like a game. It's not the dabble with it, but it's not like, let's get serious about it and do something about it. It's just like a game. Oh, you're interested in, mediumship or ghosts. That's really neat to talk about. Or they just won't, some people will go over there and explore more into it and, actually whatever the path is. But I find it's, a lot of guys dabble in the spiritual stuff. They don't really, really get into, actually being committed and doing some work about it. So that makes us a better person, right?
I
find that. And it's not the process. It's simple. It's not hard. It's simple. And
I think it's a fear,
many
books
on it.
That's a great point. It really is a great point. But I tell you right now, the way things are going down, guys will start taking spirituality a lot more serious now, because there's a stripping process that's happening with men, with the power of men, and with their position. All of that is shifting, and whether or not they want to admit it, even by default, they will start looking to other conduits and to other vessels of rhymes and reasons, of peace, of joy, because the things that they're normal, their comfort zones are attacked right now, or have been invaded, so to speak, where men right now are going to be forced to explore within, to tackle. I know some guys where the idea of even asking themselves a question never even crossed their mind.
Wow. Yeah, I think the getting to start to look at yourself and getting to focus towards, what are these stereotypes of what you're supposed to be as a man, and the stereotypes of these types of other things like meditation, spiritual, working with astrology, crystals, it's been deemed gay or female or, hoity or wishy-washy, whatever, hocus pocus. And, again, that's just as much brainwashing, because what are they telling you is important? Some dudes playing on a field that have nothing to do with you. That's supposed to be your focus all year round.
Absolutely.
I mean, we've got to look at what it is. So, and I mean, free yourself and free the words, free the thing.
Absolutely.
Like, they told you what it was, that you decide what it is for you.
Right. You know how important a spark is? This is what we're creating right here for those who want. It's a spark. Like Jay said, I think it's more important asking the right questions. Well, you don't just wake up starting to ask the right questions. You come into crossings. When your spirit is genuinely searching, it will assess a route and will fill this route with crossings that will set off a spark that would lead to a flame, that would lead to a boom. You understand what I'm saying? Some of the greatest minds throughout the course of history. You know, we all have somewhat the same journey when we're seeking. You know,
yeah,
this path of seeking, you actually run into people. We ran into Jay tonight, you know, from Canada, from another country. You know what I mean? So this is what's so beautiful, what's happening, and all three of us are alluding to this, that. But the bottom line is that, you know, for the results, you have to appreciate and accept the process. And now, I know to some degree, that Jay, myself, Sister Nicole, we've let go of some. We've adopted the idea or accepted the idea at this point of our journey. Letting go is imperative. That we have to let go of some things. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And now they're letting the new.
But
yeah, go ahead, Jay,
I'm
and then I want to talk about sex. Go ahead.
Wow.
Well, it may lead into that because it's about the masculinity. I mean, let's see if I get your female perspective. What does masculinity mean to you for a guy?
I like that, Jay.
Yeah, that's a very good question because
because you know what, we're so protective of it. We might not even know what it means. Let's just go round table on this one. I'll get a chime in here too.
Cool.
Let's go with Nicole. Let's see what she says first.
Yeah, male energy to me is about action, aggression, creating, destroying. Also, point A to point B equals C. Not really dilly dallying, getting the job done. But I don't like a man that's all about the masculine. You know, I don't need Schwarzenegger kind of, you know, the Terminator to be the dude. I actually really like guys that are man enough, but really it's more about secure enough in themselves to let their female side come out and to maybe even feel something and have a little cry and be a full person and not so much about being just a man. To me, that's more of a man that can express themselves on a lot of different levels. That's my answer. Lionel?
Well, I really appreciate that. I mean, what else can I say about it? Like, I'm just listening and I'm just saying to myself, like, wow, you know, I really hope that we have some more women callers coming in because I think men and women are still so far apart.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our folks like to, harp on a divorce rate and this, that, and the third. Well, what about, my mom and I, you know, just to take it out of the marital equation and just bring it into the home. Like, I still believe that men and women are just, like, the fruits that we're bearing right now. You know, it's just not good, you know. But I know it will get better, but, you know, my mom and I really didn't have the best cordial relationship, you know, growing up. And I really didn't understand, you know, a lot of things that she would internalize and would project on me. I just didn't understand it. And my relationship with my mom did leak into my relationship with women, like whether they were romantic interest or whether or not if I had a female employer. I mean, for some reason, it just carried on. Like, that first relationship with, or first introduction to the world with the opposite sex, like if you're a son, your mom, and if you're a daughter, the father, it is so crucial. It really is, because it has this way of mirroring, and it has a lot of staying power, you know. Throughout one's life. And if it's not healthy, it's so important to really face the music, so to speak, you know, and dive into and understand, you know, the rhymes and reasons of whatever it may be, you know?
Yeah, and understanding.
Go
ahead.
Yeah, I mentioned forgiveness. And I'll tell you this. Once I forgave my mom and my dad, you know, my whole experience with women changed. And not only women, it was just my whole experience with people changed, whether it was on a business level or a romantic level or whatever it was. It just shifted,
I think that's a big part of self-discovery, is to be able to come to terms with who your parents were, what the relationship was, and how to just be yourself with whatever you started with.
Absolutely. And this is not going far off the topic because, you know, Jay asked you, we turned the camera to you and asked you, you know, what's your definition of masculinity or manhood, so on and so forth. And you gave an amazing answer. But that's the answer now, right? What was your answer, let's say, 20 years ago? Or how would you answer that 20 years ago?
Oh, it would have been much longer.
Okay.
And said
all right. But look,
you know,
that's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing because, as far as I'm concerned, it just emulates and it permeates growth, you know?
Yeah.
And we have growing is inevitable. And I'm not just talking about physical growth. We're talking about spiritual growth. And getting back to Jay, men right now, you know, they babble with spirituality. And they play games at it, like it's like they're at a Las Vegas crap table or something, you know. And I do believe because of the shifting of power, you know, they're going to either discover or rediscover spirituality will become a major variable.
Hallelujah
with men. And I'm not just talking about, we're talking about men. We're talking about men in power.
Yeah.
We're talking about next door neighbor. We're talking about school teacher. We're talking about, you know.
Yeah, when you get in touch with your true self, it can never be wrong, really.
Absolutely.
I want to hear what Jay has to say about your definition, and then I want to talk about sex. Go ahead.
Okay.
So, well, I've been listening to the conversation, just struck me to say something about that. I feel that the masculinity is with the spiritual component in it, and without it, we're actually defined as a perceptions of the external world of what other people think that we should be. And I feel that the masculinity it defines us is with the spiritual component in there, which just talks about the process of forgiveness and the process of understanding ourselves through our aspects of the embodiment of ourselves, of who we are in our body, too.
Mm.
And
to know that we've all been both.
Yes, that's true. That too.
Yeah.
At one
to
point.
Honor the God and Goddess in ourselves and in everyone around us, you know, I think is a great place to start. No,
yeah.
We've all been both. Victim, victimizer, you know,
yeah.
Everything.
Right. Oppressed and oppressor.
Yep.
Right. Yeah. Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Good point. So, I say I want to talk about sex. I want to talk about the urges and the spirituality of it, the connection, the intimacy, and who's in charge and what the feelings are and how it's sort of working out. Because, you know, Lionel and I have talked about it, and we talk to the people around us and what we're going through. And, you know, apparently males and females, the sexual urges are running high. And I think it also has to do with, you know, the energy that's around us, the creative energy. And if we're not sort of working on something creative yet, it can all go into one direction, which is, you know, the sexual tunnel, really. So I'm interested to hear what... you know, what you guys have been feeling, how anything with any women around you or anyone that wants to start on that.
Well, millennium sex, I mean, sex right now is, I mean, it's just so, I mean, I've never even, I mean, you have cyber sex, you have tech sex. You have talk sex. There's, I mean, sex has taken on such a, just, it's like a monster. It's like a fire-breathing, multi-headed dragon that's just like...
always available for questioning.
Forget about it, man. I mean... for you to even mention missionary... I don't think a girl would even talk to you anymore, you know?
They're like, what are you, a priest?
Right, exactly.
Wow.
So, and I think that's very, very, very dangerous, you know, in terms of, like, how the world has redefined what sex is. Now, I think, you know, the sexual revolution in the 60s and 70s, I mean, throughout each generation, you know, we constantly have things that we know are being defined or redefined for us. You understand? That's fine. That comes along with change. It comes along with life, you know. Life is a bunch of moving parts, and, you know, things have to take on, you know, a new meaning, you know, at times. It depends. But, you know, since we're on the sex topic, I find it to be very, it's very intimidating to me today.
How so?
Believe it or not, I mean, how so? Because what comes along with this is like this gold badge. Like, you have to be able to, I mean, the bar is set so high right now in terms of sex.
Or like, you have to be some sort of porn star, or like, what? How
well,
so?
Well, you know, if not a porn star, then an amateur star. Like, you better know what you're doing. You know, there's this whole inclination that you better not be bad at it. You know what I mean? Because it's so accessible, and it's so, like, you know, when something's accessible, it creates a lot of opinions, you know? And people have things to say, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I just find sex to be, it's really, I mean, the sex industry is one of the biggest industry in the world. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And it pretty much, that lens pretty much dictates to us how sex should be, you know, or how a woman should, this is how a woman, a satisfied woman should feel and sound, you know, and this is how a man that can bring you this satisfaction should look and sound.
Yeah, it goes right along with the brainwashing.
Very, yeah, I mean,
interesting.
It's very incredible, and like pornography, and I'm glad because, you know, I hang around. I'm with a lot of folks that I end up talking to that share a lot of their testimonies with me, particularly with the guys, are in the realm of like the 40 somethings. You know what I mean? We have some guys that have been divorced. Some girls, some guys where it's just like, you know, didn't work out with this girlfriend that they had for 2 years, whatever. But my point being is that there's a big empty space there. There's no significant others, you know, with
so then porn takes that space.
And it's amazing what they fill it up with, and it's never enough. You know,
sure.
And I see how the energy shift, it's affected their behavior at work, behavior even with me. You know, it's like they have no idea who they are, what they have.
So it's a distraction. It's kind of become like an obsession, and it's changing the. It's like it sounds like any kind of drug.
I mean,
right?
Exactly. I mean, I'm not saying to some degree it's that hard, but it's out there. But my point being is that they really don't have any identity outside of sex.
That's very interesting.
At age, in the 40-somethings, it's a very interesting chapter. You know, you've got the 20-somethings, the 30-somethings, and the 40-somethings. Like, the 40-something is... You know, and we've alluded to this, you know, some time ago. It's like you're so-called supposed to be, at least if not established, on the verge of being somewhat content, you know, secure. And the 40-something is really now like the 20-somethings, you know, in my book. It's like these guys are, I mean, we're talking about, and just for me to put it out there, you know, these guys are well-educated. They're making good money, and they have absolutely no security within self because of this vacuum of sex not being there, this steady diet, you know, mm-hmm. sex, you know. And then you have a lot of them where it's just like high school they had a girl, college there was all these girls, after college, work, there's all these girls. Now, this 20 years of this diet, and now it's not there anymore.
Yeah, it sounds like who are you without it? But again, if it's happening, it's supposed to happen this way. And this it's a great time for transformation when you find yourself alone, because when you're alone, then you can really figure out who you are, what you want, and really set your vibration on a good place for the next thing to come. It's all the things we've been talking about, getting rid of the past, not really getting rid of it, but not carrying it around with you and making it like this lens that you see everything through, as well as being okay with this in-between time when you're not with somebody and you want someone. That's a very interesting vibrational place. That's what spirit therapy is really all about, is for what you do in the in-between time. And
absolutely.
So if all of your focus is going towards porn, which is the same thing as, you know, you're all about somebody else's sports and your team, two things that are really never going to fill something. They're only filling time and distraction. You really got to look at that self and be like, all right, you know, am I preparing myself? If I'm not with someone now and I want to be with someone, is watching this porn and being all into this really getting my vibration into a place that's going to attract the lover that I want? I mean, you know, yeah. It's good to be in practice, and I think it's a good thing also to release that sex. It's sexual energy just like anything else. We got to pee, we got to sleep, you know, that's going to happen too. So you know, to be able to take care of yourself as well, but without going too far. It's the same thing as overeating, oversleeping, over whatever you're doing. So I think that's a really good point to put out there is, you know, because women are going through it too. The women that are alone and are a little bit older, again, society is telling them, oh, you know, you're an old maid or you should have done X, Y, and Z and your ovaries are shriveling up and all this. You know, to just let that go. You got to be able to just go, no, I don't agree with that. This is my timing, and my timing is my timing. It's not the world's timing. And again, you never know who's around the corner. So you might as well get your house in order in the meantime. So I think it's really about having some focus and deciding who's in charge, the big head or the little head, you know, who's running the show here. So what's your experience been, Jay?
My experience is that as I get older, my sexual patterns, you know, change because I'm losing testosterone at what rate of what 3% of a year. So even that's actually decreasing. In order to have the normal, sexual energy, if you want to call it that, I have to actually take supplements to keep that up. So I find that and I think this is defining for women too. And it has also to do with actually the intimacy aspect of it, where actually do we have enough time for intimacy versus sex as a releasing of stress.
Right.
Right.
Ah, good point.
And
yeah, that intimacy, very interesting. Have you found that the intimacy becomes more important when it's less about that release for you?
Yeah, it's just just being around that person and just, you know, maybe cuddling them and just hanging out with them, just no physical contact or intercourse or anything like that. It's just, you know, just being around that person.
So
I just find that even in anything, that's the reason why also that do we have enough time for those sexual pleasures, or do we have the time or enough for the cuddling and things like that to keep both sides, you know, happy in some sort of way of satisfaction and pleasure too. So
yes.
it's about time. We're so busy. We're so busy now, and it's interesting. You know, I was saying this too, is that we're so busy now in stupid stuff that we shouldn't be in, like texting or whatever. You know, I'm not a big fan of the cell phone generation because it's just a waste of time and energy. But you see where the energy is going towards that versus, just
being. Yeah,
being,
taking
yeah.
time for the moment and the just being. I think that's a wonderful thing, and I would definitely say to guys that are in a relationship, and if you want to, you know, step it into being closer and trying something new, if you haven't given time for just being and the physical touch. I mean, we're living organisms that there's so many of us, and it's a reason that we're not no man is an island. We're community beings, so that physical touch and that just being togetherness without talking or without sex or without eating, always having to have an outside activity, I think is a really great thing, because also, you know, it's a nurturing. It's time to nurture yourself and nurture your other, and you know, women have been trying to get men to be more sensitive for years. But again, I think it's a balance. I think if it comes from you doing it for being with you and that it feels good for you instead of to just please the woman, you know, it's a whole different perspective.
It's really amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, and just the more I listen, the more I just kind of, it's more amazed in terms of, like, you know, women, from my experience, are just far more aggressive.
Yeah.
You know, and it seems like men are kind of, decompressing right now from all of these generations of testosterone and like rah-rah.
Yeah,
you know,
it's a beautiful, it's an interesting shift.
It really is an interesting shift. Like, men are actually sort of grabbing when it's, you know, touch, feel, you know, just getting back to what Jay is saying. It's just this, I believe, like, when you're just going into a realm of spirit, you know, of the unconventional, outside of the five or six senses, outside of the carbon world, you know, you even eat less, you know. You eat less, it's sex and turns into lust, becomes love, you know, and, like, you can have this amazing fulfillment of desire just by, like you said, the companionship and touching, you know, cuddling, you know. These type of words right now are just kind of like just on a back burner right now, you know, like looking into someone's eyes, you know. Like, you speak this way, you sound like you're a cornball or something, you know what I mean? But these were the intangibles that, you know, previous generations had were raised with, you know. And this generation is just such a, it's such a hard drive, you know. I mean, I used to go pick up my niece from like junior high school, drive and go pick her up, and when you hear the crowd noise within her peers and what the content happens to be, it's absolutely mind-blowing.
Wow.
It really, really is. You got 12 and 13-year-old talking about sex. I mean, profanity spewing out of their mouths, pornography, anal sex. I was absolutely blown away. And this is a somewhat, a pretty decent school.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And you're seeing this generation Y, if you want to call it. There's just you open up the shed, the tools are there, the problem-solving tools are absolutely non-existent. You can just feel that they're not coming from a background of nurture, you know, whether their parents have money or not.
Mm.
And that's greatly due to the busyness and the constant movement, the 24-hour reel, you know.
Yeah, well,
there's
it is
no one
time.
Raising the consciousness of these young adults. that's going to be adults at one point and going to be decision makers and lawmakers and so on and so forth. You know, it's just really, for me, it's
it is a time of inclusion.
Thing.
You know, I don't think any of these things are going away anytime soon. It's really about, you know, what do we do with all this? And also it brings up the idea of ownership, you know, like we have
that's
this
a great point.
There's this, you know, idea that like this is your man and this is your woman, especially if you sign a paper with the government. There's some sort of ownership, like now you gotta do, you know, you gotta be for each other. Well, gotta is never a word from the divine. I mean, gotta, it should be about wanting to be together. I mean, why did you come together in the first place? You know, was it to own a slave? I mean, honestly,
Nick.
I was married before, and that piece of paper can be awfully heavy, and it can change people. And you know, I saw it with my ex-husband that he thought that I was going to turn it into little Miss Betty Crocker, being home every night cooking and cleaning. And I'm sorry, had he met me? I mean, I have never been that girl. I'll do it for the both of us. I'll do it when it happens. But, you know, I'm not going to turn into little wifey. And I think it's the same thing with women's expectations on men, you know, that everything has to stay the same. And that's not ever going to happen. I mean, everybody's changing and everybody's growing. And isn't the idea to grow together? And if you can't grow together, well, maybe your paths need to part. So this idea of, you know, ownership and also ownership of yourself with the sexuality, I have to say, it's the best gift you can give yourself when you can own your own sexuality. And we've got another the call, the tagline or whatever their call name is, Dirk Diggler. And he's saying, you know, to give the other perspective, he says women pretend like, you know, they don't like to get hammered, but they're human too, and they love a good hammering. Well, of course. I mean, sex wouldn't be what it is if sometimes it wasn't about hammering, but it's not always hammering and not always, you know, owning, well, now you have to give me and, you know, but yes, it's the inclusion of the male sensitivity and the female's aggressive and females liking to be females and being able to shift that who's in charge back and forth. I mean, that's really fun to be able to give up control. I know a lot of guys that and you've said this before too, Lionel, you know, that it's wonderful to be able to not have to do everything, to not have to be always in control and making all the
Absolutely. You know, I think, you know, and I've drawn that conclusion through my celibacy period, you know.
Mm.
I've gone without sex it started by default. But when you're dealing with change, because change is inevitable. I mean, regardless of what you want to do, you can work very hard to elude change, but you can't. You understand?
Right.
So, yeah, and most people spend their lives trying to avoid certain things. And, I mean, I often heard people, including myself, man, I finally went for my driver's license, and they're like 50, 40-something years old. I wish I would have done it 20 years ago, or I should, you know, we put things off, you know, predicated on fear or this or that, whatever. But the bottom line is that you really can't, you really don't cheat life. You don't cut, there's not enough corners for you to cut, to take to,
the happiness.
Chase
to being
life
in alignment
off
with
your
yourself.
Tail.
Yeah. Sure.
Right. You know, so my point is that eventually you have to deal with it. You understand? And when I had to deal with it, of course, you know, I didn't like it at the beginning. But as 1 week without sex turned into 2 weeks and 2 weeks turned into a month and the month turned into 3 months, you know, it started to be all right. You know, believe it or not.
You owned it.
Okay.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I was just like, I wasn't even thinking about it. Like, after 6 months, and when it went to a year, I mean, now, don't get me wrong. I didn't say, oh, well, you know what, I'm going to be celibate for 2 years. That didn't happen, you know.
Sure.
I've actually submitted. There was no one around, and I'm not one to pay for it, you know. That's not me. But
so
my
submitting.
Point being,
yeah,
right, it's submitting. I submitted. I said, well, you know what, there's really no way I can go with this thing no more. There's no way I can run. And it comes to a point in life that, and particularly with the men dealing with sex, you have to deal without it. You have to learn how to live without it. You have to discover yourself without it, without
yeah.
a woman. You understand?
Yeah, that
and
was definitely. Yeah.
When that process started to take shape and form, then it turns into a constitution. You know, it turns into like, wow, I've learned an incredible amount of things, not only about myself, but about, you know, who I am on this planet. You understand? Not just the environment affecting me, but how I can affect the environment.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? Because
mm-hmm.
the crowd noise was out.
Right.
You know? The bleachers was empty. You know? The stadium wasn't packed. It was all empty. You know? And it was just
yeah.
me and my spirit and my soul and my God. And we were dealing with things. And this was a long process, Nick and Jay. This wasn't easy. I've cried a lot. I got depressed at some point. And I got back up. And I got better. And I've really rediscovered that. I've discovered a lot of new things. And I rediscovered some things that I knew, but not in that, not with the depth that I know it now. You understand? So we must allow this rebirth to happen, you know? And to put it to the Dirk Digglers of the world and all that other stuff, I became the best lover after that. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, because you take that time to balance within yourself. It's the best thing I ever did for myself.
I became a better everything after that.
Yeah.
I mean, my goodness, I'm not tooting my own horn here, but my experience with women was pretty awesome. You know?
Yeah.
It really was. On not just on a physical level, but I was a better listener because I've always been my situation, or what I would always be the rhetoric with Lionel was like, oh, you just don't listen. And I thought I was listening, but I was hearing them. I really wasn't listening.
Yeah, because then you're noticing who's in charge already. You know, like, who's running the show here? Your dick is never going to be smarter than your brain, you know? And
can't be.
And, yeah, and it's not a very
because
good
when
listener.
It goes down and when it goes, you got to have something still in charge. You got to have something still alive and alert of and keeping you aware. You understand what I'm saying?
Right, and
you
I
know?
Have to also
so,
say for women, you know, when I learned the same thing, you know, there was a period where I was like, listen, you know, who's running the show here? And I was picking guys just because I was horny. And it was like, it was literally like a pusher, you know. I was like, well,
right.
And then I would, you know, fool myself into being, well, he's not so bad, you know, because the sex is good.
Right.
So let's just, and then there came a point where I was just like, wait a minute, man, like this is not, and then I think it's true when you're not trying to constantly fill a need, you just naturally see what's going on better, make better choices into who you want to hang out with. And then you can also listen better. You become, of course, a different lover because you've learned how to be with yourself. So then you can bring yourself to the table and enjoy it with wanting instead of needing, you know, like you never really, you don't taste your meal when you're starving. You're just busy trying to, you know, throw it down your throat. But when you're hungry and you can have a nice meal, well, then you can have time to savor it and really enjoy it. And I think that's even more satisfying, obviously. You know, that's satisfying
absolutely.
You on many levels. As well as having sex be a sexual, a spiritual experience. I mean, if you don't talk about sex and spirituality, I think you're cutting off a big chunk of the pie and not telling anybody where you put it, you know? I mean, the spirituality when you can connect with someone, and then when you choose someone that's in the good vibration that you're choosing because you want to be with this person, you enjoy this intimacy, their energy, it can be very healing for everybody on so many levels. It's like, you know, it's like Reiki. It's energy healing, it's physical healing, it's intimacy healing. So, you know, that would be a wonderful way to heal the world, is if we all got more in touch with what we were doing. Even like Dirk said, when we're pounding, you know, we need to pound things sometimes, male and female, of course.
No,
and
right.
And Dirk did come back and say, you know, that God bless women, I love them, and, you know, so I just wanted to give the other side. But, you know, I'm glad you chimed in, Dirk. That's really cool. So, the spiritual side of sex, but I think you can't bring the spiritual side until you're in touch with yourself. And like Jay said, you know, if we're as men just sort of dabbling and not really getting into our own spirituality, you know, if you're a spiritual woman, you're definitely going to feel it, and you're going to go, I don't know, this guy's not really connected somehow, like some part of him
exactly.
is in the other room.
I'm plugged.
You know?
Well,
yeah.
The spirit world parents the physical world. It happens in the spirit world before it actually happens in the physical world. And people need to understand that. Like, when your thoughts, you know, it lives in the realm of the unconventional. It's not tangible. You can actually manifest, I mean, good, negative and positive, good and bad, just through your thoughts alone, you know. That's how powerful a thought or a word, you know, is. Because at the end of the day, you know, this is a spiritual existence that we have here,
mm-hmm.
with very multi dimensions. And then when we leave, it's not if, but when we leave the carbon world, the physical world, this body, this temporary outfit that we're renting right now, we're going to leave it at one point. But there will be something that will still continue to exist. Now, it won't be your body. It will be your spirit. You understand? So everything is spiritual. Everything. You know? And this is what people don't understand. We have so many babies being born out of lust instead of love. And that when you enter a woman, and when a woman enters a man, it's not just a physical exchange that's happening. You know how you have the stock market exchange, you have all these things just flowing all around, you know. There's a spiritual exchange that's taking place. And people don't understand the other rooms to sex, how powerful and important it is. Whether you're aware of it or not, it takes shape and form of your life, you know? And
yeah, it's definitely.
Forget
yeah,
about
yeah.
even the offspring. We're not even talking about that. You know, we live in an image-driven society, you know, where they're constantly filling you up with images. It's images. Like, images just doesn't stop. Like, this is why I don't have a television in my home. Mm. Because after a while, I feel like
bombarded.
I ate something. Yeah, like I get a physical reaction to it. Like
yeah.
I ate something that was spoiled or rotten, and I get a stomach ache, or I got a shit or whatever.
Yeah, it sounds like the
you
big
know?
Theme here is kind of like getting out of the barrage of what you know, Babylon is telling you about certain things and taking time for yourself, like Jay said, with meditation and all of that.
Right.
So,
I don't see how it's going to happen outside of that, Nikki.
Yeah.
I really don't.
Yeah. If you're alone, taking time to be with yourself and figuring out what you're doing so that you can be prepared and in the best
shape. And be grateful
shape,
for that time.
Be grateful, absolutely.
Be
absolutely.
Appreciative. See, this doesn't have to be this treacherous thing or this like, oh, my God. It doesn't have to be a drag.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
We do better when it's fun.
Enjoy it. Use the time. Use your freedom. Freedom is everything. It's like it's a perspective, you know, but it's amazing how we can change our perspective at any given moment where this so-called doomsday or this terrible moment or period of chapter of our lives can totally have a different perspective, a different outlook. It's very, very important.
Yeah,
you know?
Definitely. Having that strength to just, you know, to be with yourself and pull your bootstraps up, absolutely. Well,
no,
we have about five minutes left. I just
Are
wanted
you serious?
To...
The hour and a half went by so fast?
Yeah, I know.
Unbelievable.
Jay was saying the same thing. He was like, uh-uh.
Damn.
It's cool. Really
Nicole,
cool.
Nicole, I just want to ask you, I hope, can we have like a second series or a monthly
sure.
series or whatever, please?
Yeah.
Because... I love the calls. The experience was just incredible.
Nice. I'm really glad to hear that. And it's really, it's great to hear the male side all the time. It's really great. So just to close, I thought maybe we could just go around, take like a minute, 30 seconds, something with a little piece of advice that that we feel would really help the males right now. Who wants to start? Jay?
Yeah, I'll start. Piece of advice for guys. If you do explore your spiritual self and get to know yourself better, you're not going to lose your masculinity. Actually, it'll enhance your relationships in all walks of your life. That's all I can say.
Awesome. That's a real good nugget right there.
You
what
know
about
what?
You?
Jay somewhat took the meat off the bone with that statement, you know what I mean? And I was just going to advocate spirituality. I was going to advocate everything that goes against sight, touch, feel, you know? And I'm just going to piggyback with Jay because that was basically, you know, what I was about to say, you know?
Uh-huh.
In my own
wow,
way.
Cool.
For real. Absolutely.
Cool. And I'll put in there that, you know, while women are finding their male side and dealing with how to deal with this aggression, you know, which is also a vibration, to, you know, just give it a minute and don't jump in the ring necessarily. And if you have to jump in the ring, that's when you can really learn how to communicate, because you know, if we want to stop the war outside, we got to stop the war within. So,
wow.
You know, women are doing their thing, and men, you guys are doing your thing too. So realize, you know, that the rules have changed, and it's all about having good sportsmanship all the time with each other and communicating. You know, it's the best you can do, and just be yourself. Be yourself, even if you're like, I don't know what's going on right now, but I'm feeling this, and I don't know, you're freaking out, and that's what's happening. You know, you can't fault the moment and the truth in the moment. So I think something like that, that's what I would say.
It's one of the best lines I've heard in a very, very long time. You know, stop the war outside, you have to stop the war inside. That's just like, you talk about a cherry on top of the sundae. That was awesome, man.
Awesome. Nice. I'm glad to hear it. Cool. Well, we
well
will
I just want to give a shout out and give love to Dirk Diggler, California Love, my brother Jay in Canada. I want to say I love you guys, and I thank you for chiming in. It was great exchanging life experiences and energies with you brothers, you know, and definitely I do feel that this topic will, you know, it's a topic that's very flammable. It'll catch fire. And then have other genders, sexual interests. We have all different types of people on this boat, you know. I really do
nice.
Really believe that.
Awesome. I agree. Yes. Thank you so much, Jay. And thank you for everyone in the chat room. Thank you for listening. The phone lines are always open. We'll be here next week, and we will talk about some sort of love for all. We'll see what the transmission is for that. So, yeah, everyone have a great night. And I'll continue to play us out with a little happy, because whether you're sad or happy, this song makes me happy. Good night, everybody.
Back up to the host, Nicole. Love you. Thank you so much.
Love you, too. Love you, too, Al.
Peace.
Peace.